TV.
I don't know if you all remember last Friday's show, there was a young man who commented. His name was Mike Hoover, and he, first thing he did was criticized the snatching away teaching. Didn't like it. And I know why. Because after reading his post, it was a lengthy post, it was clear to me that he is exactly like I was between 1982 and 1986. I was a kingdom guy. I was an overcomer. And the phrases he wrote with are so familiar to me. I used to write a newsletter back in 1986 to 11 people. No, it must have been 85. Because I learned about Paul in the two Gospels in 1986. And that changed everything for me. But I was writing a newsletter called Food for Thought. And I formatted it exactly like my hero. And my hero, this little piece of feather floating around, my quilt comforter sprung a leak and there's feathers. My hero in those days was Ray Prinzing. Ray Prinzing was a kingdom overcomer guy. And all these guys wrote the same way. There was Ray Prinzing. There was J. Preston Eby, Paul and Emily Mueller, Elwin Roach, and others. And you could just tell right away. And when I read Mike's post, I mean, it just screamed to me, kingdom overcomer, of course. And there are certain characteristics of this group. And again, Mike fits the profile. Now, I'm not here to condemn Mike. I'm here to help him. In fact, these almost a week later, now I answered his post at the time, but he posted another one that I hadn't seen under it. There was a chain. I sometimes just don't go back to check. And I answered him, and it's my desire to help him, to give him the boost that I got back in 1986 when I discovered the Concordant Publishing concern. But I was into George Houghton. There's another writer. Some of you in my audience may recognize these writers. And some of you may be of the disposition of the Kingdom Overcomer group. Again, there are specific characteristics of this group. I'm going to go into them all. They spiritualize the scripture chronically. And I did that myself. They come up with allegories, detailed allegories. It's kind of a competition to see who can come up with the most spiritual allegory. They mock the snatching away. They speak in tongues, which I did. Yes, shock to everyone, I did. Back in the early 80s. And Paul speaks of different species of languages. I don't want to get into speaking in tongues. I don't do it now, but I did it then. The kingdom overcomer people, they are Pentecostal by nature, really. They judge spirituality. And again, I know this because I was one. They judge spirituality by how it feels, by how it sounds. They think they've arrived at the pinnacle of revelation because they've left organized religion, and it's great. Believe me, it's great to have left organized religion. That's a huge step. And Ray Prinzing was instrumental. And I'm sure Mike Hoover, the young man, he looks like a young man if that's his picture in the comment. He looks like a young man. Mike Hoover probably has heard of Ray Prinzing. He mentions Elwin Roach and J. Preston Eby in his post. Yeah, they will dismiss the snatching away, the rapture, make fun of it. So the great thing is that I came out of organized religion actually before I was introduced to Ray Prinzing. And I actually did meet Ray Prinzing. Anyway, maybe I'll get to that. But because my in-laws followed him, they went to all his meetings. They were definitely Ray Prinzing groupies. But the Overcomer Ministries, the Kingdom / Overcomer Ministries, helped a lot of people come out of organized religion. Another one of their great sayings was, come out of her, my people. This is all legitimate. And another great thing about the Kingdom / Overcomer movement is that they believe in the snatching, they believe in the all in all. But they don't see any truth higher than all in all. And for years, for 5 years probably, I did not see any truth higher than God all in all. I don't mean to say that it's not the highest truth. It may be the highest truth. But what I was missing between 1982 and 1986 was Paul, was the realization that Paul had a separate ministry, a separate gospel. Because I used to do the same thing that Mike did and does in his post. I used to mock people who wanted to escape this world. Ray Prinzing called it escapism. It's only escapism. And Mike singing that same tune. And there's another fellow who joins in called Mac the Human. And you won't believe what this guy said, but I'm going to read it. But he loved Mike Hoover because Mike Hoover was singing his song. He was preaching his truth. And again, these people recognize each other because of the language they use, the common language that they use. So I used to listen to Ray Prinzing tapes. Well, first of all, I should say, you know, I became a Christian in 1979. You know the story. I watched Jesus of Nazareth, went to my room, wept, told God, told Christ, I have to know you, I have to know you. And the next day, I think it was, I went and bought my first Bible and I became a Christian. I was a Christian from 1979 to 1982. And during that time, I would read books by, I'm terrible at remembering these names. The Late Great Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey and David Wilkinson, Put Thy Trumpet to Thy Mouth. And all these guys were big time into, they called it the rapture. But they were a little confused because they were mixing the two gospels. They were mixing Peter and Paul. They were mixing overcoming with not having to overcome. But it was very exciting stuff for me because, again, if you come out of organized religion, you think you have arrived. You really feel spiritual, like you're dodging an evil bullet, which you are. And then to find something like this Kingdom Overcomer message. I mean, I found that in 1982. I'm going to tell you how in a second. Some of you might know the story. But when you find that, you can't imagine that there's anything more. But there is. And I want to tell that to Mike. And Mike, I'm not condemning you. I'm going to read his letter. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to read Mike's post, and I'm going to comment on it. And this is meant to help Mike, because again, I was exactly where he is back in between 1982 and 1985. I was exactly where Mike Hoover is today. He looks to be about the same age I was when I went through this experience. So I'm here to help anyone who is currently in this. Again, once you get into this and you see that there's more to the Bible than just sitting there in church hearing it read to you, you start to read it for yourself and then you find out that you're a son of God. That's another big phrase, sons of God, sonship. Oh, sonship is a key phrase when you see the word sonship, which is not to delegitimize sonship. There is such a thing as sonship, of course. But it is so tied into these other things, and it belongs. It's almost like this Kingdom / Overcomer movement has taken that phrase and made it its own, like they practically copyrighted it. They, you know, put a little R above it. Registered trademark there. But the temptation is to think that once you've gotten to that point, like you are at the top. And I felt that. I thought I was, like, this was the pinnacle of revelation and there ain't no more. And that I was going to be an overcomer. Maybe I was one of the 144,000. But I remember feeling that, like Rocky style, almost happiness of going through the tribulation. These people want to go through the tribulation. And they mock anyone who speaks of the snatching away. Again, Ray Prinzing called it escapism. The whole thing is really born out of Pentecostalism. Because they're speaking in tongues. That's very important in this movement. And singing hymns. And it's almost like church, except it's with folding chairs and conference tables, right? And like I said, my in-laws used to follow Ray Prinzing around. Well, let me go ahead and use that as a springboard to tell you how I got into it. I met this girl in 1982, February thereof, who eventually became my wife and the mother of my three children. And it was her father, as many of you know, who on my first date, I lived an hour and a half away. I was in Canton, Ohio. She was in Plymouth, Ohio. I'd never even heard of Plymouth, Ohio. Where the hell is Plymouth, Ohio? I had to find out where it was. I got out my Rand McNally Road Atlas, looked at the coordinates. Like, I think it was F-16. No, wait, that's a jet fighter. I think it was a J-17. J-17 were the coordinates on the Rand McNally Road Atlas. I wanted to find out where it was because it was too far away from Canton. I wasn't going to go see this woman. Right, because she lived in Plymouth, Ohio. I'm from Kansas, in the same state, but my God, she could be down near Chillicothe or up near Toledo or over near Youngstown. I mean, so, you know, this coordinate would decide whether my socks would ever be washed. And I looked at it, it's only an hour and a half from Canton. It's not bad, on Route 224. Take I-76 West, then jump on that's the interstate, then you jump on the two-lane 224, you go through strange towns named by frontiersmen without water. Towns like Homerville, Sullivan, Ruggles, Nova. Finally got to Greenwich, where I eventually lived, but you go through Greenwich, went to Plymouth. Anyway, met this beautiful girl that I loved, absolutely loved. And her dad is the one on my first day, the first time I drove out there, he says, "How you doing, kid?" Slap, slap, slap on my back, you know. And I was in the country. I was from the city, but now I was in the country and I was expecting a shotgun or something, you know. But instead, I got a Young's Analytical Concordance. He handed me this book and I about went to the floor trying to hold it up. Like, what the hell is this? A concordance, son of concordance. Anyway, he showed me about the word Ionios and he told me about that there was no such thing as eternal hell. I said, "Oh, that sounds pretty fanciful. Okay, whatever you say, sir. I'd like to talk to your daughter here, if you don't mind." "Oh, did you know that every single reference of the word God is in this concordance?" I said, "That seems impossible." Flip through 100 pages. But the people who would become my in-laws were in love with this preacher named Ray Prinzing. They would have meetings at their house. Now, Ray Prinzing one time came to he didn't come to a meeting at their house, actually, but I did meet him. I think it was 1985. Ray Prinzing was in Greenwich, and I was so nervous to meet this guy. I listened to his tapes coming and going to work in the post for the post office. I had about a 20-minute drive each way, and I'd pop in a Ray Prinzing tape in my cassette, and I listened to this guy night and day, and I really got into the thing, man. And when I met Ray Prinzing, I couldn't believe it. I was like, "Oh my God, this is Ray Prinzing." You know, yeah, so it was great. Like the Beatles meeting Elvis or something, you know. But my in-laws would have these meetings at their house, Pentecostal meetings, where they would speak in tongues, and there were these manifestations of the Spirit, and some weird manifestations that I believe were false and evil. Sorry, Art and Jeannie, but yeah, a lot of not so good stuff going on there. But they would hand me then these tapes and these papers. Right, Prinzing also wrote a newsletter called Letters of Truth. There was another name for it. It was changed to Letters of Truth. There was something else before that. But they were a 6-page newsletter typed out, no computers in those days. And it was just so formulaic. Same phrases, same notes. Again, things that I'm reading in Mike's post. I'm not trying to belittle him at all. I mean, it's a calling and there's some spirituality there. But it's not the height. And there are many mistakes made by these types of people, and Mike's making them by saying that you can't take the Bible literally. This is a fatal flaw of the... They all do it. They all do it. They allegorize everything. Nothing is literal to these people. Nothing. And it's up to their own creativity what something means. Literally up to their own creativity. And then there's a subtle competition among these folks who write, and I wanted to be one of them, and the competition is to see who can come up with the coolest allegory. I mean, it was, you really felt it was spiritual. And I suppose making these allegories, finding an allegory that nobody's found before was so, it sounded really spiritual. And on some level, it was. But on another level, it was fleshly. And it was completely ignoring one of the most important things, one of the most important rules of scriptural interpretation, which is literal if possible. These people don't know anything about literal. Nothing. They don't take anything literal. That's the fatal flaw. And I found that out. I found it out because the same way I found out about Ray Prinzing. My father-in-law, they had also come across a Bible translation called the Concordant Literal New Testament. And I was given one by my wife's cousin, whose name was Marge, and she gave me one, or maybe I just looked at hers. This must have been 1983 by this time. I was still wrestling over this salvation of all thing that my future father, no, he was my father-in-law on October 15th, 1982. He became my father-in-law. So I met this girl, Marcia White, on February, I think it was on her birthday, like, it was like February 25th, 1982. And I married her that same year in October 15th. So he became my father-in-law on October the 15th. So I was still wrestling with this salvation of all things. But he gave me, or I got to look at a Concordant Literal New Testament. And I said, what's this about? And he just says, well, it's translated based on a system. I didn't understand any of that, but I was intrigued. And so I began to look into it. And one day, I saw an order form for the Concordant Publishing Concern. And my mind was freaking blown. This must have been 85 or early 86. It must have been laying around in a pile of Ray Prinzing newsletters. I was going through these Ray Prinzing newsletters. I read them all. I wrote my own. I based it on Ray's. It was a carbon copy, 6 pages, typewritten. I had all the phrases down, overcomer, tree of life, sons of God. I had all the phraseology. The rapture's stupid, escapism, everything Mike's writing. I wrote, Mike, if you're watching this, I hope you are. He said he was never going to come back to my channel, but I hope he's watching. Mike, if you're out there, I'm not mocking you. I was there, bro. I want to tell you there's something more, something so important more, and it's called, he's called the Apostle Paul. And you have no idea how important he is right now. No idea. You have no idea how important his letters are right now. No idea. I hope to introduce you to him and to the importance of his letters and the importance of reading scripture literally. So one day I'm going through these Ray Prinzing newsletters and I see an order form for the Concordant Publishing Concern. Mind officially blown. The titles just were fantastic. I don't know what they are. I can't even pretend to know what they were, but they were just so intriguing. Like, I don't know, like, does Satan have a free will? Adam versus Christ, celestial versus terrestrial, the nature of Christ, the true basis of fellowship, the meaning of the book of Revelation. I don't know, over and over again, there were like these mind-blowing topics. It was like God porn. It was God porn. And then I remember, I gotta get this stuff. But see, my in-laws, they didn't like it. They didn't like the next level. They were uncomfortable with Paul. And when I finally wrote to their Concordant Publishing Concern and got that material and learned about the two Gospels, I was like, boom. I was shot into outer space. And I learned how to read the Scriptures. And I learned that tongues was part of immaturity. And then I saw the snatching away again because I had poo-pooed it. Oh, yeah. Oh, you had to make fun of the rapture. You, if you're an overcomer / kingdom person, you have to mock the rapture. And I did. I did. See, I believed it from 1979. I believed in the snatching away from 1979 to 1982. And then when I was introduced to the overcomer kingdom movement, I got rid of it. So between 1982 and 1985, I didn't believe in it anymore. I went 3 years thinking the snatching away, the rapture was a lie. It was not for serious. It was for people who weren't serious. And I allegorized it away. I spiritualized it away. You see, nothing is literal with these people. I am telling you, that's the main thing. This is why I'm such a stickler for literal. And I realize it's so important. And unless you have that law in your mind, unless you follow that rule, then Scripture is just a playground where anybody can say anything and sound spiritual. And it's like, ooh, he has a new analogy. Oh. But when I realized that God's revelation to man was to be understood as words are understood. For instance, Mike says this one in this one place, the air in Scripture is often used to denote spirit. I said, that is so kingdom/overcomer. The air in Scripture is often used to denote spirit. I don't know of one place where air is used to denote spirit. Another thing he says is, we as members of the body, Mike, you're not now a member of the body. You're a member of the bride. You're the bride company, the overcomer company, the lamb. Does all these phrases sound familiar? Of course they do. We as members of the body do not look forward to any kind of escape. Speak for yourself, sir. If I can, I am going to introduce you to Paul, and you will see 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 17 in a completely new light. Mike writes, our emphasis ought to be on overcoming. No, our emphasis is not on overcoming. Members of the body of Christ don't have to overcome. This is why I know you're not now a member of the body. You're a member of the bride. You're part of the bride company. Another big kingdom phrase, bride company. You're of the bride. At present, I don't know if God has designated you beforehand for membership in the body of Christ. Time will tell, but time is short, my friend. And please, order my book, The First Idiot in Heaven. Or write my sister and request one. I would love to send you a copy on the house, you know, free. Just, I would love to underwrite the expense of getting a book to you because I really want you to know this stuff. Because again, you remind me of myself many years ago. So I am going to read this post. Now that I've introduced it, I'm going to read the details of it. Oh, so I got the Concordant material. I ordered one of everything from the Concordant Publishing Concern. A giant box arrived at my house the summer of 86. I remember I was sitting outside, and my uncle was the rural postal guy, and he came walking up to the house carrying this box. And I was like, oh, my God, there it is. There it is. And the return address, Concordant Publishing Concern, Santa Clarita, California. And I opened that box and I spent 7 years learning that material. But let me tell you something. I don't despise the Kingdom Overcomer ministry materials that I read in the past. I learned a lot about the salvation of all from Ray Prinzing. I learned a lot about the sovereignty of God from Ray Prinzing. Because of probably George Houghton, I would say he's foundational here. Many of the Kingdom Overcomer folks do understand that God is sovereign. There's no such thing as human free will. And so I don't despise that God brought me through that as part of my upbringing, just like it's part of Mike's. But now I want him to go on, because you have to go on from there. You're not there yet. I mean, I know that's hard to hear. If Mike's watching, I know it's hard to hear that. And I couldn't have been told that back in 83. That would have been hard to hear. Because it was so exciting, it was so new. It was like, oh my God, I'm hearing from spiritual men who are speaking in tongues and talking about the salvation of all. And imaginatively and very creatively interpreting the scriptures, which is not good. Scriptures could be anything you want them to be. Just like here, Mike looks at the word heir, and it never means heir to him, rarely. But it always means heir. Unless there's some obvious reason to not make it heir. And he says, caught up in the air, bespeaks. That is another giveaway word, bespeaks. I'm not kidding. I'm not making fun of Mike. It's just bespeaks. That was a word that Ray Prinzing used. These guys speak in almost this elegant, formal, old English. Bespeaks. And Ray Prinzing would always say, methinks. Methinks this bespeaks. So anyway, for a young guy, Mike Hoover, you shouldn't really ever use the word bespeaks. You know, it's just not normal. That's how I know that he's neck deep in this calling. Caught up in the air bespeaks being caught up in spirit. I say they don't take it literally, like you're actually rising to meet the Lord in the air, which is exactly what Paul says, in the clouds. They never take clouds literally, ever. Oh, believe me, they hate clouds. The Kingdom Overcomer people hate clouds. There's only one place in Scripture I know of where a cloud is figurative, and that is the great cloud of witnesses in Hebrews. Oh, they love the book of Hebrews for all the wrong reasons. They think it's talking about them. Ooh, they think Revelation is talking about them. Ooh. Well, for some people, it is talking to them. I'm just hoping Mike has an antenna for Paul's gospel. And I hope he's still here. The concept of rapture appeals to the sensual man. Damn right it does. And to the spiritual man as well, because I'm both. I have a sensual side and a spiritual side. I think you do too, Mike. And both my sensual, like my desire to love and to see Christ. That's sensual, is it not? To see the sights and sounds of the celestial realm, but also the spirit. Is it not spiritual also? It is. And I hope to introduce these things to Mike and to anyone else out there who maybe went through the Kingdom / Overcomer ministries and wants to find out something that is higher than anything they have heretofore imagined.